May 4th, 2008, it's a Watt from Pedro show. May 4th, 2008, Sunday, at the Pleasure Point, the Love Grotto. Here, Brother Matt.
Ahoy.
Once again. It's a Sunday. We have some guests, Brother Matt.
Yes,
you welcome. Want to introduce them.
Welcome very much.
Hello. Thank you.
We got Talia, Shani, and Tiffany in the house today.
Yeah.
And Peak should be arriving shortly. Mm-hmm. Welcome.
Sean, you're from Long Beach?
Yes.
Still, because still. I know you're moving around.
Hey.
Yeah, still in Long Beach.
You gotta talk towards that thing, oh. They ain't gonna hear you.
I'm still in Long Beach.
No, hi, Peak. Now, Peak's joined us.
Welcome.
Hi. From Glacelle Park.
Get the big. Represent.
Big voice.
Howdy. I have a cup of coffee.
I have
a huge voice.
Huh?
Fresh coffee.
And, Talia's Pedro.
Yes.
When did you come here?
When I was about three.
Three?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mexico.
See.
And Tiff, where are you now?
Torrance.
Now you're
right
in,
now
you're,
I am.
You're
oh, no,
in
no, no,
flux,
no,
right?
Right now I'm in San Pedro.
Are you moving here?
Tomorrow I'll be in Riverside.
Couch store.
Torrance. I'll be in Palos Verdes. Be in Sacramento.
Rotating thing. And Brother Matt is born, bred, Pedro.
Generations, many generations. Of
so that's where everybody's from. I'm from Virginia, but I came here when I was 10.
Yeah, my family's been here like almost 100 years now.
Wow.
In San Pedro?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
How many?
Almost 100.
Wow, that's wild.
Yeah, much respect. Speak on that, is that?
Almost 100.
Yeah. I'll get clear. Almost 100. Oh yeah, we started off John Coltrane, Wise One, Crescent, I think.
I'm happy to hear Warren Olney likes John Coltrane to start his show too.
What's up, LA?
Yeah,
I think it's
KCRW.
I think the second part of Love Supreme. Or
yeah, I thought that was very cool of Warren.
He's all had it for years.
Yeah.
Well, you know, one time he had me on the call up. You know about this?
Uh-huh.
Which Way LA? That's the name of his show.
It's like real news.
I think cigarettes.
That's, right, that's why he quit doing news on TV, I think.
Well, there was a debate on...
Yeah, he used to be on 93.1 KNX.
There was a debate on low-power FM radio.
Oh, right.
And the NAB, National Association of Buttholes, were way down on it, and there was some crony. In fact, I think it was Mr. Powell's son.
Oh, right. You're in the FCC.
Powell, right.
Yeah, he doesn't want to have the
kind of
communities
thing.
Have any
He was
kind
in
of
their
voice.
Pocket, and, you know, no competition.
Yeah, cheesed out the whole FCC.
And, you know, he had me aboard because I was a proponent, because of my experience with the KBLT, up in Silver Lake, and I like the idea of Low Power FM because it's grassroots.
Yeah, give people some voice.
And he had me on to, I mean, I was on the phone talking with him, and he's very kind to me. And didn't shut me down, didn't talk me down, didn't patronize me.
Yeah, he's a real old school newsman with integrity, I think. I dig on listening to his show.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah. Yeah, basically, he's just trying to get a bunch of views aired out there. But yeah, he uses John Coltrane for his show, I think, at the beginning and the end.
Yeah.
You've heard him?
Yep. I like how he remains detached from both sides.
Yeah,
sorry. How he remains detached.
Well, he tries to be objective. I don't know about detached.
But he does real stories, though.
He does.
Detached
he
means, like, he wouldn't even talk to the subject.
Right.
Like
well,
a lot of conversations we have here.
But he likes having real issues and stuff. He doesn't talk about Britney and crap like that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Stuff affecting the town
right.
and stuff. Yeah, which way is L.A. going?
Yeah.
He's intense.
Right on Warren.
But he's also a decent person.
Mm-hmm.
Just a decent person. This guy who was on the other line, well, there's a couple people on the line with me, and I wasn't, you know, I was waiting. I didn't butt in and all this and have all this, but he gave me a chance to make my case.
So you were actually on his show? Did I miss that? Or you were just talking to him outside of his show?
I was just saying about my experience with him.
On his show?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I guess.
Okay, sorry. I didn't get that part.
Coffee was just kicking in.
Not yet.
Yeah, that's why I was targeting the people about, like, maybe we should have one conversation going when we're on the air. You know, people, like, kind
of
know
I'm incapable of that. I'm sorry. Should I leave?
No, don't leave.
You think we were having a conversation with our eyes or something?
Maybe. I mean, because we were speaking about this.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't
even
really
had a contract. Yeah, she was. I didn't sign the contract.
It's all right. You know, I'm not the dead mother. And what else? Oh, yeah, we heard morning music. When you put the thing on the table like that.
I realized it after
Radio
I did
Radio is
it.
A difficult thing.
It is.
We heard Motoka Honda with... some music by George Crumb, morning music. I got to play last week with, what's it be like to be a kindergarten teacher? Because everybody's all ADD'd out. They got the excuse of being children, huh?
And it's Sunday morning, everyone's hungover.
Yeah. Anyway, last week I got to play with, Dose twice, and one of them was in it was downtown L.A., Charlie O's, a place I think the last time I played there was 15 years ago. And, God, they knocked out the roof. There's some kind of TV show they filmed there before we got in there. Something with Keanu Reeves. But he's not in the show. They, like, do a live theater of a movie.
Oh, right. I think that's like a
Weren't
new
you there? Did you go?
No, I was
You
told
at the first
it.
Gig.
Yeah.
Nobody came to the second one from the first one, right?
Well, you said
there was a lot of people there,
but
like KXLU people maybe or something. Yeah, they have something to do with this with Amoeba Records. This guy named Matt, really good cat, puts this together, and he comes in after they clear out from this live theater of some, or maybe I'm remembering it wrong. I was told wrong.
No, you're right. Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
There's a movie.
It's a movie
Keanu,
preview, a premiere.
Oh, it was a
premiere? No, he was in a movie with, like, their cops at the beach.
And then they
what was it called?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Mainline, pile line, no. Pile driver, pipeline.
Point Break.
Point Break.
and they act out.
Jeff knows him kind of.
I used to date a surfer, so I had to watch that.
All surfers gotta watch that.
You should have watched Big Wednesday instead.
I've met Keanu before. He's a nice guy.
Step into liquids better.
Anyway, so bizarre. It's just, I mean, it sells out and stuff, you know, live theater in downtown L.A., you know, like 5th Street in Spring.
It sounds kind of hokey.
And then this thing, we came in, we played First Care. It was, she's in a big project right now, and so that was the first day, and she had to get there at the crack of dawn, so I asked him if we could play early. So I think it went to like 2. In fact, I think I conked. I think I got woke up.
That's surprising.
I was watching one of the bands, some guy from Kansas was doing a one-man band thing. I think I conked. He's a nice guy. What was his name?
From the band Kansas or the state?
Lawrence, the town. And no. He was too young for the band.
He wasn't
that young. Yeah. He was too young for that. And I had a one-man band thing. We played drums and sang and did all this shit.
Some wayward
stuff. And it wasn't like his music was bad, but it was pretty interesting. But it was late for me, and I think I conked.
Say, Mr. Watt, you're on.
Or maybe we played first, and then this guy came on with banjo. There was and then some guys with rhythm machines, pewters, rave, and then Motoka Honda and her crew, and Joe Bernardi was on drums. I haven't seen him in years. Do you remember him? The Fibonacci's?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Long time ago. Kind of a new wave band. Mm-hmm.
I know. From different crowd.
You know them from different crowd?
Him, yeah.
Joe Bernardi?
Yeah.
He was a drummer.
You emailed and asked if I knew who he was. Yeah. Instead of Alex, because you thought Alex Klein was...
That's right, that's right. That's because she rotates with a lot of different people. With Danny Golia, Jeff Gautier.
Yeah.
And I know Alex. That was at the studio. That's what I found out about the gig.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so, Joe, I hadn't seen in a long time. And he was great. And then some other cats, a bass, a guitar. It was trippy music. It was really neat. I'm going to do 2 gigs like that next week in Tokyo. Just making it up.
That's rad.
I won't be making that one. FYI.
No.
Me either.
Not this time.
But it was a powerful thing. And I thought we did better. We used our own amps instead of it. Right before we did the Richie Hayes Pass Memorial, using other people's stuff, which was kind of good because the parking there is so shitty. You got to park blocks away there. Nothing against it, you know, but fuck that.
Slip all your gear.
No, but so Steve Reed and Chris Stein had their stuff, some from the other bands. Me and Kara could play that. And then we went, and it wasn't too far. Mm-hmm. I would say 10 minutes from Echo Park to downtown LA. Right. 15 minutes.
3.5 miles.
And we did, I think, it was about 3.5 miles.
Yeah.
I got on the freeway, got off on Broadway into the 5th, but no parking because of Hollywood shit. So that was kind of weird. You know, just pull over, get everything out, like New York style.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did better, I thought, at that one. Although it was more tired in a way. I also got to do Blue Oyster Cult with Nels and Bob Lee.
Oh.
Cool.
Nels did a thing, part of the memorial, where he sang.
Hmm. Yeah.
It's different.
Solo.
He sang and played guitar. And then right when he got done, me and Bob Lee started playing with him the Blue Oyster Cult song. So that was different. I hadn't played with Black Gang live.
That's cool.
5-6 years.
Wow.
So I got to record with them last month, and now played a song. Steve Reed was there. Last time we toured, Steve Reed was with us. And Steve Reed asked if we tour again with him. That would be neat.
Cool.
Yeah.
I think you guys rocked it.
So,
it's really good.
Huh? Echoplex?
Yeah, I like
that. Oh, yeah, but my amp was way on the other side of the room.
Yeah.
It's fucked up. I played over by now, so.
Yeah.
Bob Lee was over on the other side. You know, there was a static thing, and things had to move fast, so we couldn't reset up. So I didn't take my glasses off and my coat. I don't care. So, and what was the gig before? It was in Pedro the night before.
Oh, La Conga?
Raul and Tom and their new stuff again. And that was pretty neat. And those are my last gigs probably until in Cali, until probably Warp, maybe these Warp 5 gigs, Warp Tour.
What's that?
In August, the tail end of the Warp Tour, the boss, Kevin, asked me to do. I've never done whole tours. It's kind of tough, and I'm always busy. But
so is it a local one?
They're Cali.
And who are you playing with?
Tom and Raul.
Oh, good. Oh, that's exciting.
And I think it's San Diego, Ventura, Fresno, San Francisco, and maybe something in L.A. area.
Actually go to a war
Ventura
tour.
Does the fairgrounds?
Can we all
go? Yeah,
maybe.
Oh, cool, huh?
Can we all go?
Yeah.
You're 15.
Look us up.
No, guess
list. Oh, that's what it is.
The only way to go. It's exciting that you guys are going to be playing at that, because your music, you as being Mike Watt, are going to be introduced to a completely new generation.
No, I've done a lot
plus
of
plus Raul.
I've done
Tom.
5 or 6.
I know, but kids today are paying a lot more attention to.
Hey, where are the other?
And creating bands at younger ages. So
yeah, they're young,
you know,
at that tour.
It's good. This is perfect timing. They need to hear you. They need to see you. They need to see the combination with Raul, you know, like
they need
Tom.
To get the shit scared out of
him. No, that's bitching. That's fantastic.
Like, yeah, you want to grow up to be an old punk rocker?
Yeah. Yeah, you know.
This is what happens to you when you don't
we'll
quit.
We'll take surveys. That's what we'll do. We'll take surveys. We'll gather info
we'll
about you.
Surveys.
Get some feedback. Yeah. About Mr. Mike Watt. How many kids?
All right.
That would be cool.
How many kids?
No, not how many kids.
Do you know what you said?
How many kids know of you? Like the age, like find the young.
Yeah. Because well,
I bet you would be surprised.
How irrelevant I am.
then that's not a surprise. No.
Okay. Tanya, you're making music, right?
Yeah.
We're going to play some of your music now.
Yeah.
This is called Sola Musica, this project. What is this about?
The song?
No, Sola Musica.
Oh, it's a solo project. It's made out of frustration, wanting to make music and not really having access to... really, it's kind of an experiment, using equipment and instruments that people probably wouldn't normally use, and I'm creating music.
And probably a key point is you're by yourself.
Yeah, yeah. I'm by myself. Except...
Maybe hence the name?
Yes, hence the name. But I am including more people, so I might have to change the name or...
Really?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Like what? Musica de la Pueblo?
I don't know. I have to think about it. I'm still thinking about it. It's kind of this transitory thing, though. I don't have like the same people that I always play with.
But you brought a song here we're going to play. It's called Wondering.
Yes, I brought 4 songs, so hopefully you'll let me play them.
But you don't know the name. You're...
I do. I had to think about it. I forgot the list, but I'm pretty sure.
Well, we're going to hear this one song first.
Yes, so this one's called Wondering.
Yeah. What about it?
It's a love song. Wondering if the person I love is the one.
Okay.
Thank you. I want to give thanks to all those people who are listening to their hearts rather than their minds, and that are here helping in with any ways and any means that we all can. Our prayers, our thoughts, our support are with all of you there in New Orleans.
Watford Pedro Show. Started off there with the song by Talia, Wondering.
Yay.
Sola Musica, rather. Her, the name she records under until she changes it.
Yeah. Well, I can have many.
When the more people come. Yeah. Okay. But this is the
current
Woman Alone project. Yeah. And then we heard something, the Clubber Lang Gang with For Broken People, which was a song given to me by these cats in Pennsylvania to put bass on. I've been doing a lot of this where you hear the sounds of Pedro in the background. We just got to have that open.
Yeah, we mix those in.
It'll be too stuffy. We shut that.
Well, no, we could swing it.
Well, the last time I remember was open, close, open, close.
Yeah, we got options.
If you don't smoke any cigarettes, we'll be fine.
And so these they sent me their song, and yesterday I put bass on it, and I've been doing this a lot with the music people giving me, and it's interesting because I don't know what to expect. I don't know
they'll like it.
Don't know them. I don't know where they came from. I know they're generous to have me try something like that with something as precious as their music. Like I tell you, with your music, you wouldn't want somebody to come and just plow through it and have no respect.
Well, no, I would want them to do
You'd
it.
You'd want them to do that? All right.
To care about it.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I mean. So it's, when you're dealing with somebody's creativity, it's you have to be respectful. I guess you should be respectful about everything about people, but especially their art. You don't have to?
No.
Just strut and swagger?
You
gotta earn it.
Well, I don't know. I'm an inferior man. Anyway, I was kind of stumped on the tune, and then I don't know how it came to me, and you just keep working with them, and something comes, but then you're not sure, and you flow it to them, and they told me they liked it. I was very self-conscious about it. I didn't know what the fuck they'd think. You know, I never do, and I don't want to let anybody down. So, I thought it was a beautiful song, so I don't know if really they wanted bass solo. But we'll see what they do with that. That was just a rough mix to give them an idea of what I did. That's one of the great things about the Pro Tools thing, where I don't even meet them or anything, you know, it just comes over.
If they didn't
over.
Want some Mike Watt on it, they wouldn't have asked you.
Yeah. But, you know, some of that might be what I've done in the past. And they liked something I did with D. Boone or Nels Klein. That doesn't mean that's going to happen when they send me. And I'm used to, you know, I'm not that fragile with the ego about, hey, why don't you do it? You know, the first try, it's pretty, I was pretty blown away. I mean, and you're hoping people would do that because they really did like it. It's not just, you know, let you get away with anything.
And it makes you out in the final. Yeah, that was great.
But you know what I mean. If it was, they didn't like it, hey, go back and do it again. I told you about the Funanori thing. There's some of that stuff I had to do. In fact, there's a new song. I did 18 tries.
Wow.
Wow. Were they telling you that they didn't like it? They didn't like it? Or?
Yeah, do it again.
That's awesome.
They weren't shy.
That's great.
No, but it's all right.
Yeah.
You know, and these guys like this one on the first, so much respect to them. I thought I really liked their song, and I didn't want to foul it. You know.
They're less picky.
And it's all, you know, John Coltrane, I have a... You think they were less picky?
Yeah,
maybe they
kidding,
liked
I was
it.
No, but they. I think they wanted you to play bass on, you know, their stuff because they want to see what kind of creativity you could bring to their music, and maybe they could get inspired by you. And so they were very open to what you could, you know, bring to them.
Yeah, but just because you try, don't mean they're gonna like it.
Mm-hmm. True.
You're taking a chance. I mean, it's worth the chance. I think it's worth the risk. You know, anytime you collaborate, right? you're taking risks, but risks.
I get into that kind of situation all the time. Like, some people come to me, I'm just not sure if they come to me as a photographer or they come to me because of me. So it's like, that's what I'm hearing. Like, are they looking for bass or are you looking for you? You know? And then you have to then identify what it is that you're going to. Mm-hmm. To give them
I'm
going to
give them bass, probably.
A sense of you.
Yeah.
No.
No?
Try a sitar.
You're going to give it me?
Right. It's
pictures,
easier to
have
play
a picture.
Just singing space
yeah.
folk than it is to play.
Bunch of spiel.
Crazy Japanese.
Snapping.
Space folk sounds easy.
Yeah.
It was, you know, maybe I'm not that competent. I don't know.
No, I didn't mean easy, like I could do it.
No, I didn't mean it that way. I mean, it was just tough. I wanted to have something that fit. There was no drums. Play bass
right.
without drums
yeah.
is kind of...
Music
it's good. Them. It's a good thing. You know, to take risks like that.
Yeah.
Instead of having my guys tell them what to play right. and all that. I mean, that's very interesting, too. But something where you're given the thing, and then you're trying to please them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really did. It wasn't like take it or leave it. If they didn't like it, I was going to try again.
Mm-hmm.
Again. I was 18.
Well,
I'm more part of that, but
it's great that
not really.
Great
in a way, it's sort of like
comfortable. Yeah, that they have the comfort with you.
I think life's about taking turns. If I'm going to ask Tom and Raoul to do stuff, Nels and Bob Lee, Pete and Jared. By the way, I played with Pete and Jared. Couple nights ago.
Oh, cool.
First time in a long time. Tuesday we're going to record. Do you guys know about a band called Squeeze?
Yes.
You know
oh,
Squeeze?
Yeah.
No.
You know Squeeze?
Yeah.
It's like New Wave?
Yeah.
And Chuck Treese had me put me in touch with somebody to do a tribute, a song for a tribute record to them. I don't even
oh.
know their band. Sounded pretty New Wave. And I was given a song. And so I asked Pete and Jared to do it, and I practiced it with them Thursday night, and I'm going to record it Tuesday. But I haven't played with Pete and Jared in a while, so that was nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like. So anyway, I get those situations. I'm asking them to play things, okay? So I think that it should happen to me. This is kind of quasi because they're it's their music, but they're asking me to come up with something. But then, in my mind, it's only fair that they have the right to approve or disapprove.
Right.
And me not to be all...
It's their project.
Right. ...fragile about it and go back and try again.
Mm-hmm.
It's their music.
Right.
It's cool sharing and merging your
you
artistic
know, but the project is letting me be part of it, yeah.
Right.
I've done a few of them. In fact, Chuck Treese did one for him. That skater guy I played with Ray Barbie at that house
mm-hmm.
for that television show. He's an excellent musician. He plays everything. And he gave me a song. And you can do this, you know, with the Pro Tools and stuff. Not even be there with them.
Yeah.
And Chuck liked my thing on the first try. So. And this guy can play. So, it's kind of neat. If you really want to learn, though, you don't want people to like it just because your name. That's what you were trying mm-hmm. to say, right, Peek?
Yeah.
Because do they want to know you or know a photographer, where they're asking for photography work, they probably want to know
something
about the photographer, yeah, mm-hmm. part of you.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like lately I've been kind of fighting into like pushing for more unique perspective that I'm putting out. Like I'm not like just taking wedding pictures anymore. I'm like, well, do
pictures
you
really, of fights.
Like, no, I'm talking about wedding. Like,
no, you just got published, right? With
yeah.
Boxing.
Fight magazine.
Fight
but,
magazine.
But even that, you know, like with the fight magazine and things, they are looking for sport photography, and I'm trying to tell people like I'm not a sport photographer. I am like I take picture of people.
You're Thai like, photographer.
Like, what Thai photographer?
Yeah.
So I'm trying to document human tragedy and triumphs within this world. So if you want to hire me, you have to get the whole story, not just like the glorious part of it. You know. When
do you know about people getting killed at those things?
Yeah, it happens.
Richard Meltzer once told me about he was at Olympic Auditorium and there was some boxing. And like little guys, bantam flyweights,
mm-hmm.
which really pack a lot of punch for their, I mean, these are 110 pounds, but they're really strong little guys. This guy came from Ireland and stuff, and he had his guys with him with a flag and everything, and he got punched to death.
Oh.
Accident. Well, I mean, they're fighting, but
Potentially.
Hurricane Carter.
Yeah, so he goes down and he dies, and they're carrying him out of the ring, and then the audience all barrage, and they're pissing in cups and pouring them on him as he's passing by his dead body. That would be
Olympic Auditorium
to a photograph.
Yeah, but there are new regulations on that kind of stuff now.
No pouring piss on the dead guy.
No scratches.
That one.
That was cute. That was in LA.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Just people were in a mood, a certain kind of mood, I guess.
Piss porn mood.
But I don't think they were conclusive that he was dead at that point. Was it?
He was. Well, maybe, maybe not. I don't know. He was...
They have, like, more...
It happens.
They have doctors on the ring now and that would call it faster that this person is done. They have, like, stricter regulations on that.
Or just a lucky blow, you know, the brain bouncing in that basket. Just the thing, the vibe of the culture, of the crowd.
Right.
They probably didn't mean disrespect or meanness. They just got caught up in the moment.
Exactly.
And I just brought that up because, like you say, the fight isn't just maybe pictures of the blows.
Yeah. It's so many angles. It's human, you know? It's not going to go away.
My ma really likes boxing. She likes watching on the TV when she was younger.
I don't usually watch boxing.
You like the ultimate fight?
No, I mean, I don't watch that so much as much as a lot of people who are into it, you know?
But you train on it and stuff, right?
Yeah, but I like that because I'm with them.
You do it, not watch it.
Yeah, I'm not just seeing the highlights. It's like when I'm around musicians, I'm not just around at the concert. You know, I just like the process of getting there and creating in the case of music and the work in progress. I like all that stuff, not just the concert part.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm doing the same with the fighting, except I don't play music.
And you do fight.
I do fight.
Let's start again.
Let's play some more music.
Yeah. the plywood and put up. It's the cardboard that's sticking underneath, with some plastic bags to cover the top. Well, they can't see, even outside, along the freeway. Can't you see your shack from your car? Well, how much can you see? It's smashed. Outside in the cardboard condominium. Cardboard condominium. It's a cardboard condominium. Up in your face. Get the shape, the head is going out wide. Got a seat in the cardboard condo. It's the cardboard condominium. There's not, too many of them. It's the cardboard condominium. It's the only way to live when you're cashing on welfare or panhandling a win on the skid. It's the way I live. Can you dig it, baby, when you make love in the cardboard condominium? Nice and funky. Boy!
She must be a man. She speaks in low voices. A man. She makes all the wrong choices. A man. She's growing facial hair. A man. But I'm not picky, so I don't care. She likes her booty and she likes her beer. She likes to shave her back, she likes to trim her beard. She pees standing up and she likes to fart. She always tells me to pull her finger. A man. Tell by the bulge in her pants, a man. And the way she scratches it with her hands, a man. When we go out and everyone stares, A man. But I'm not picky, so I don't care. She likes her booty and she likes her beer. She likes to shake her back, she likes to trim her beard. She pees standing up and she likes to fart. She always tells me to pull her finger. A man.
That was Pursuance by Hiroshi. That's another song where I was given music to put bass on. And he liked what I did right off. So I've been pretty lucky. And it was... actually, it was kind of easier because the beats were straight. It was pewter rhythms. And then he had people play over me after. So I was part of a process, not just thing on after. Using my bass, other people came to it with the guitar and stuff. And so that was interesting. Then we had some very strange music. Roiken Zomerdijk with She Must Be a Man. And the Mentors with Cardboard Condo.
Duce.
Yes, rest in peace, Duce. End of the first hour of the May 4th, 2008 Watt from Pedro show. Hold tight for hour two, win some spin cycle with Brother Matt.
Cool.
May 4th, 2008, this is the second hour of the Watt from Pedro show.
like myself is thinking of pushing down onto the city of the piano. Listen. Watching me with contact lenses. Listen. Angry bang bang. The shadows of the plan grabbing his face like a hand.
Down to a place I used to go with you, down the painful avenue, down back there a mile or two. And I head back down, past the tired train track town, past the abandoned brickstone church, where the seed first planted hurt. And I'll wait, wait for you, and I know you come soon, just like then. But I know now, if I wait long enough, you'll roll down through Painful Avenue. And I head back down, seems there ain't a soul around. Desolate, quaint vacancies, least as far as I can see. And they cry out loud, silently, without a sound. Seems as though it ain't so far, back to Painful Boulevard. And I'll wait, wait for you, and I know you'll come soon, just like that. But I know now, if I wait long enough, you'll roll down through Painful Avenue. Through Painful Avenue. But then I'll wait one more year, just one more day. Writes several letters in his brave the way back to Painful Avenue. Back to Painful Avenue. Back to Painful Avenue. I'll be waiting there for you.
From Pedro Show. I started out the second hour there with Schooner and something live they did from a couple years ago. I think they're a Toronto band, and a song called Teenage Dinosaur. Then we heard Same Things with Give the Past a Bow, Same Things with Sam Duke, who I get to record with in June. He gave me a bunch of songs. But instead of just playing on them in the Pro Tool in my Pad and Pedro, when I'm out in England with the Stooges, there's the days between gig, and I'm going to take train from London to Brighton. It's a water town, Brighton, where he lives. And we're going to do as many songs as we can. Maybe an album. I've never had an England album, so that'd be fucking bitching for me. He's a great cat. He plays everything. A lot of these people, you know, that I've met who can play everything. And I just do bass.
You do it so well.
That's all right. So Sam, that's him and his buddies doing Give the Past a Bow. Then Charlie and the Valentine Killers. Charlie, an OC guy. He's a great cat. He's been around for a long time. I've known him. And a song called Pain Avenue. And God, he always gives me kudos. Is that the word?
Props.
Yeah.
Kudos.
Mad prop for the sunrise pictures.
Oh man, fucking hey, you gotta make a book of that stuff, man. You got some amazing shots. Coffee table,
right?
Coffee table book.
Coffee table.
Yeah.
Some big rings.
Prince, you need to do like a series. You need to do a series and have
it. That was good sucking out, man. It's got some kind of marinade.
Yeah, a little garlic, a scampi.
Yeah.
Scampi sauce.
With respect. So you like the pictures.
Oh, right. Man, yeah. You.
Well, Charlie always flows me good thank yous. He's a kind man.
In fact, my school uses your lighthouse picture for their program and their graduation.
Wow.
Graduation invitations and announcements again this year.
What do you think about these banners on the street? Port Town. Now, I didn't take that picture, but it kind of...
I think Jack got a little extra promotion on that one.
Some bonus.
Get some mileage.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Lighthouse, Angels Gate Lighthouse belongs to all of us. And, oh, man. You know, I was paddling Thursday, and the water was pretty filthed up. Dead duck floating in it, out by the bait raft. It's crap. When I see, not to get high and mighty on anybody, but you see quart oil things, like the dudes just put oil in their motor, just threw the thing out.
And it's a trash can.
And then they want to sail in it, right? They're in their boat.
Mm.
I think you can get high on mighty on that one.
Yeah,
I have no problems with that.
I can get high. Who opened this fucking hatch again?
I didn't. I didn't. Lay off of me.
I said who? Don't worry. I'm gentle.
Take pictures of the filth, of the filthy water.
Oh, you should.
Well, some people comment some of why we have such incredible sunrises in Pedro is because all the filth in the air.
Toxic. Yeah,
and there might be a truth to that.
Yeah.
You know, in all that orange and shit, there's only a little period when that happens.
Yeah, certain hours.
Okay, right now sunrise is about 6:07, 6:08. And I only got a couple minutes to get that stuff in there. It all changes. It's the angle of the sun. It rises quick. Yeah, when it's lower, it's going through more, and that's why you get all that rarefied light. And also the light, too, when it's on your back, and I'm not in the kayak, and I'm by the fishing boats and stuff, and that's the best light, man, when it's lighting things up. It's the content of the light. You know, white light's made up of a lot of different lights, and the first light is something else. It's beautiful. So, I'm not really making the picture, you know. I'm just pointing the
documenting
line.
The moment.
Yeah, right.
But everybody got a perspective.
God's word.
You know, everybody got a perspective, and you capture a cool perspective.
Yeah.
It's kind of like boasting about Pedro, because of our geography. Like the South Park. Do you have that?
No. Yeah.
Okay. And then we heard Atypical Science with "She's Your Baby." I don't know where they're from. I don't know where they are.
Some lab.
And, yeah, right. Hopefully not one of them little back of the pickup ones. Motel 6. Okay, now it's my honor, privilege, most fortunate luck to be alive at the same time as Brother Matt.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Matt.
Man, that was clam filter.
Yeah, yeah.
Kept busting.
That was Tiff.
Thank you.
Sean.
Mike.
Piggy.
Don't use this machine.
It's stinking it up?
Yeah.
Okay. Watt from Pedro Show. That was Husker Du with 8 Miles High. Before that, we had Boris with 1970, but not the Stooges, 1970. No. Here, I got... We adjust the mic levels here after... Brother Matt, yeah. There we go. After our jam, thank you for providing a backbeat there.
Cool.
Yeah, I know you had some equipment failure. It's the pioneer is not so that much of the pioneer in spirit anymore.
20th century technology.
Yeah, it's way back in the 90s.
Yeah, that's older than old school.
That's kind of lame. Anyway, thank you, Talia. What'd you play, Kalimba?
And these stick.
Stick things, yeah, rain stick. Tiff, you did good rain stick. You did the most rain stick.
Thank you.
And. What was that flat, the Irish drum?
Yeah, the Irish drum.
That was what Shawnee did most
yeah,
of.
Yeah, Shawnee was rocking on the
drum. And I did some of this drum with these.
Yeah, that squeezer talking
no,
drum.
This shit.
Oh, yeah, those electro toys.
Yeah, I didn't know how to work the one, but this one made a... I threw those in there. And plus the talking drum from Africa.
That's not from Africa, that's from the Renaissance Fair.
Yeah. Talking drum from Renaissance Fair. And that's the second hour of the Waffle Pedro Show, May 4, 2008. Hold tight for hour three. May 4, 2008. It's the third hour of the Waffle from Pedro Show. And here's part 9 of Jack Flanders in Dreams of India.
You got me again. The sun's coming up. I don't need this lantern. Now, wait a second. Who's holding the lantern? And who blew it out? Me? So I do have a body. I just can't see it. I can feel myself walking. I'm breathing, smiling. I feel great. My life is good. Only thing is, I have no body. Well, someone is hungry. And someone wants a cup of coffee. There's got to be some in here somewhere. Instant coffee. Yeah. Freeze-dried. Don't kid me. Oh, no coffee. Shoot. Okay. Tea it is. Oh, I see there's a fresh pot out on the old patio.
Good morning.
Good morning, Auntie. Have you seen Jack?
No, I haven't seen him this morning.
Me neither.
Ramchandra, please bring the biscuits.
Hey, don't sit here. Hey, that's me you're... that's me you're sitting on.
I suppose he spent the night in the palace.
You know, Auntie, he is here to help you.
Oh, he means well, but how could he possibly help?
You could help by getting off me.
I believe in him, Auntie.
I wish Kamala was the one sitting on me. Oh, well, I didn't mean it. I'll forget.
I haven't been able to sleep. My dreams are so oppressive.
I know.
They're so real. I have to pinch myself to see if I'm awake.
Well, let's see if you are awake.
Ow!
Auntie?
Mr. Flanders! Why are you sitting in my chair?
Well...
Did you sneak in behind my back?
Jack, you look so...
Yes?
You're glowing, Jack.
You haven't shaved. You look as though you've partied all night.
Well, lots of parts of me partied.
I'm not so amused by your humor. I do not consider pinching an old woman in any way proper.
I'm sorry.
Had we met when I was young...
Auntie?
Oh, never mind. Ramchandra, breakfast for Mr. Flanders. He looks famished. Are you famished?
That's me, yes.
For someone who appears so unsavory, you certainly are spunky this morning.
Good morning, Mr. Flanders.
Oh, good morning, Ramchandra.
Did you have a nice night?
Nice? Well, let's say lively.
Ah.
Ramchandra, don't stand there. Serve Mr. Flanders his breakfast.
Ji ha, ma'am, sir.
You seem to be feeling better this morning, Auntie.
Indeed, I am. Mr. Flanders, you'll have to excuse me. As long as I have this energy, there are things I must attend to. Don't get up.
What happened last night?
After I starved. You know, it's funny, I feel like I'm not just eating for one today.
Jack, she's much better this morning. Did you do anything?
Did I? Oh, boy.
So you were actually invisible?
Well, as far as I could see.
But how did you reappear?
Well, when your aunt raised up from the chair to reach for the marmalade, I got this urge to pinch her. And when I did, there I was.
Do you often have that urge, Mr. Flanders?
But she was such an irresistible target.
And the djinn, he's still in you?
Or me in the djinn?
So what will you do next?
I have the feeling the djinn is as curious about me as I am about it. So tonight, back up the hill. Her eyes changed. They became so fierce. You know, it was just as you described her aunt in your book. It was as though someone else had stepped into her. And yet, it was her.
And what did she say?
Well, I had my microcassette in my pocket. And luckily, my thumb just somehow wandered in and pushed the record button.
Mr. Flanders, good actions are far more important than physical strength. A body that is not being used to serve others is nothing but a dead body.
But
use your body in the service of mankind, not just for the purpose of catering to your own selfish needs.
What the heck is going on?
I'm speaking to you.
What is that? Target practice?
You think they're aiming at you?
Huh?
Mr. Flanders, what I'm about to say to you may be of great benefit to you.
What?
Give me your full attention.
Yeah, sure. Sorry.
Today, whatever man does, thinks, or utters is primarily inspired by selfishness. In order to overcome this tendency, you have to constantly seek opportunities to help others and develop the principle of service.
Right.
In this process, by your own good actions, all of humanity will be sanctified.
Right.
It is very difficult to obtain birth as a human being. Do you understand?
It is.
You must spend some time thinking of how to properly utilize this rare life that has been given to you and develop good habits which will overcome these weaknesses of desire and anger that waste your golden chance. Always remember these three principles. In the first place, do not forget God. In the second place, do not believe in the world. And in the third place, never be afraid of death. These are the three great principles of humanity.
It was as though someone else possessed her. It was her, but it wasn't her.
The djinn?
Would a djinn say things like that? I don't know.
Then what could it be?
I think what we're dealing with here is no genie, but some being that's pretty high up. Sun is setting. It's nice music. A harmonium?
I didn't tell you this, but Something happened to me when I was in Delhi.
Oh?
I had the strangest experience. It just unlike anything I've ever experienced before.
What happened?
Well, I went for a walk in the park, you know, the one across from the hotel.
Yeah?
And it was dusk, and there was this beautiful peepal tree in the center of the park. And there was a bench right beneath it, so I sat down. And the parrots were chattering and, you know, looking for places to settle down for the night, and there was a dog barking. And as I sat there, I had the strangest sensation. I felt myself expanding, just growing larger, not physically, you understand. It was my awareness. I was expanding beyond my body to include the trees, the park, the buildings across the street.
By include, you mean you saw all of this inside you?
Yes. No, I expanded to include it. It didn't shrink in size. I grew, you see.
Ah.
I was expanding to include all of the city, and then the whole subcontinent, all of India, and then the entire planet. I kept expanding to include the moon, the sun, the solar system, our galaxy, and all the galaxies of the universe. They were all within me.
And then
I was just sitting beneath the peepal tree.
Buddha became enlightened under the Bo tree, right?
So they say.
Well, isn't the peepal tree the same as the Bo tree?
Yes.
Well, there you go.
What?
First step toward enlightenment.
Jack, I think it'll take a little more effort than that.
Well, did you know that there's a book called The Lazy Man's Guide to Enlightenment?
Is that what you live by?
I wish I could. Oh, it's getting dark. I think we better go.
I'm
Watt from Pedro show, Brother Matt. Yeah, it's me with my fucking computer. Sorry. Started off third hour with part 9 of Jack Flanner's Dreams of India. Then we heard Ode to a Black Man by the Dirt Bombs. I think they're coming next month. You know about them?
No.
Detroit Man, two bass, two drummer.
Oh, cool.
And this cat, a cat named Mick Collins. I think that's his name. It's his band. He used to be in the Gore. He's been in a bunch of bands, but it's a great band in Detroit. And then we had Caius by Peter Jones. Caius used to be a band Josh Hom was in, who sings for Queens of Stone Age, the desert thing. I don't know where Caius came from, so I don't know if Peter Jones wrote the song about the band or the thing that Josh's band named themselves after.
Chicken or the egg?
Caius. Sounds like some exotic thing. I'm showing my ignorance here, sorry. Wikipedia or something. Mm. And then You Are a Song by Bullship. I like that name. Bullship. You know, you're going to work here, you better know your shit. Now, we're talking about conking and... Tiff, you don't conk with your mouth open ever.
Right, I don't. I proved it.
How?
By falling asleep with my gum in my mouth and waking up with it in my
mouth. Your hair.
No.
How many times have you slept with gum?
How many hours did you sleep? I did once on accident.
Probably for 6 hours at least.
You don't know.
It could
have fell out. You rolled over and it went back in your mouth.
That's a very likely scenario.
Open. Yeah.
If you sleep with your mouth open, your mouth is going to be dry in the morning from breathing through your mouth.
It can be. What if you got a drool bucket going?
Yeah.
I don't snore.
All right. Now, that led to us talking about boogers. I tell you, now your friend don't get sick.
Oh, man.
Because he grew up eating boogers?
Yeah, apparently there's this theory that... If you ate enough boogers as a child,
you gotta talk in that mic.
That's
one person theory, by the way.
It's a one person theory who believes that this is not my theory.
We're looking for funding.
It doesn't make sense. But if you ate enough boogers as a child, that you build up immunity to bacteria.
I think
and viruses.
I argue. Why don't you just go ahead and eat poop?
I think that's kind of toxic.
No.
You can drink your piss. I think Gandhi drank a cup of piss a day. Oh, fuck, how do I phrase that? He drank a cup of his own piss every day. And Jay Maskus's mother was losing her hair. His mother-in-law was losing her hair, and she started washing with piss, and it came back. But I think piss is like mainly sterile.
I know people who said when they eat mushrooms, they drink a little cup of piss and it works so much better.
Yeah.
Those fuckers work good enough to me.
The mushrooms, they grow out of turds.
No,
you're supposed to drink it fresh. You're supposed to drink it fresh.
Well, that's different.
Because it starts growing back.
You don't
want
to keep it in jars and stuff.
Freeze it.
Howard Hughes.
Drop an ice cube in a glass
kidney
of water.
Filter.
I'm going to need this later.
You like it aged? Well, I don't know. Nanny said that average person, 8 spiders in their lifetime, they'll swallow.
While sleeping?
Yeah.
Maybe in their... while sleeping.
Yeah, because
Their
mouth is open.
Yeah.
Not too many by choice. Not too many are eaten by choice.
How did you work it so your mouth stays closed? How?
Are you really tense? Is your jaw closed?
Yeah,
no.
You like
no.
On.
No. I don't know. You just naturally grow up sleeping a certain way.
And what's it? Everybody else is just a bunch of lazy fuckers?
Yeah. You know how some people sit around like with their mouths open?
Yeah. Catching flies.
And spiders.
Spiders.
Birds.
Well, I guess if you go to Asian countries, there's a lot of bugs eating people, so the whole average kind of throws off altogether because they eat it on purpose.
Ah, No, I didn't say eat them. I said they crawl in. Right, right. I've had grasshoppers.
Yeah. Crawl in your mouth?
No, like they were like potato chips. Right. They tasted like potato chips. They were all dried out. It was a China pad in Alhambra.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of weird chow there, or just different.
Yeah.
Like earthy.
Combined with little carts.
Rats on the stick.
Food.
Oh.
Huh? I said, I don't mess with the Chinese on their food and their.
Yeah, I know. Much respect to them. It's just a little different.
Variety of things they.
Yeah, there's a wide variety of things.
It's earthy.
Waste nothing.
Some of them are scary.
It's not about that. I'm like, kind of like they go out of their way to eat endangered species.
Oh.
It tastes so good.
You should have Jason Ho on because he knows more about their cuisine. He's the one who took me out there. Pretty trippy. I had some good intestines, but it was like tripas in a way. Mm-hmm. But looking at it was all yellow with big red veins, so it's better chow it with not looking at it. Yeah, like egg yolk with red vein thing. Maybe it was the way it was prepared, but it tastes really good like tripas.
Neat.
So.
Where did you have this? Where?
It's. Not the old Chinatown, okay? It's where all the
new Chinatown.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But doesn't have the corny stuff, but that's where they're all living.
Yeah, they even got Chinese signs some places. You can't, if you speak English, you're in the wrong neighborhood.
Yeah, more immigrant. And then other Asia, too, Vietnam and Cambodia.
But some of the places are pretty neat.
Yeah, I mean, the Chinese food that we eat is 100 years old, 150 years old. You know, and it was way more like U.S. style and just changed. And so what they chow over there is different.
It's a trip to go to the dumpling house, and they got little wagons coming by with all kinds of
stuff.
Oh, that would be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really
God, what are those called? They have them in Japan. Gyoza?
Oh, yeah.
Gyoza. Yeah. Pot stickers.
I'm so happy right now.
That sort of gyoza is probably the reason why I weighed 10 pounds more when I lived in Japan.
Yeah, because they're like dough and oil. Yeah. And
well, I like mine pan fried.
The boiled ones, and they're weird.
Steamed.
Yeah, it's steamed.
Yeah.
They're trippy.
So Mike's taking us out for lunch after this.
Yeah.
Yes? Everybody starving.
Yeah. Or go to the grocery store, we could cook
like Pedro chow.
No.
Yeah,
I don't have that much time.
Yeah.
I do all my own cooking when I'm not on tour.
Yeah.
So you're offering to cook for us?
Yeah.
Huh?
Are you offering to cook for us? I'll cook.
Well, once again, we don't have that much time.
Yeah, I like to cook.
I could cook for you.
I
cook little stuff, though, man.
I mean,
I'm not really prepared for more than one mouth.
So next on the
next time on
the episode will be one from the
weekend,
kitchen.
So we all bacteria'd up.
Yeah,
we can have a potluck radio show one week.
Just listen to us chowing.
Yeah.
No, serious. You been to any gigs?
Yes, actually.
I have gigs coming up.
Here.
Oh, me. Yes. Have you seen any? Yeah, Thursday night I saw Mr. Badwrench, which the guitarist Chopper from The Cramps, and then also Lonesome Spurs. And I actually brought one of her CDs. It's Linda K. Parker and Danny B. Harvey, and it's a two-piece, but she plays bass, and she also plays a kick drum that is in the form of a suitcase, and she sings, and he plays electric guitar, and they were fantastic. And then Unknown Henson played also, who is from South Carolina. And you have to
I know about
him.
That cat.
He was so funny.
He's
a talented guitar. I mean, he jams, but he dresses like a vampire, and that's his whole shtick, and he is the nicest man, and it's funny.
How old is he?
Does
he just look old, or is he old?
Well, when he's on stage, he looks a lot older because of the makeup and his lamb chop sideburns. Yeah. And, you know, he powders up. But
what do you think about lamb chop sideburns?
I like them.
You had for a while, didn't you?
Me? No.
Yeah.
You had some. Oh, you know, you had the. I don't know.
He gay?
The biker.
Lamb chop. Fu Manchu. And no hair.
I had my sister this morning make it littler. It was like out to here. I don't really like it big.
Would you do that?
I don't want them long on the side. No, I never had it. They kind of itch. When I have beard, right?
Yeah.
But it's that's different because they're just... What do you think about beards without mustaches? Like Abe Lincoln?
Yeah.
The
Everett Koop look?
Yeah, he had him too. Koop had it.
Deliverance.
I say no to all of them.
Yeah?
No to facial hair.
Gross. You don't like it? What about hair on moles?
We were just having that conversation, Maya.
No?
Me and you.
No.
Because I have one.
Did you see any gigs you liked? You saw some gigs.
I haven't really seen much lately,
yeah,
except for those.
One.
I saw those when you played last week, and the Benefit.
Did you like that?
So, yeah.
Did you stink it up?
Yeah, yeah. It was, I especially like you guys doing the Blue Oyster Cult number.
With Nels?
With Nels.
Bob Lee?
Yeah.
Kira didn't do that.
No, not Kira. Kira, I think Nels, I overheard Nels say that Kira is like Peter Pan. When the way she plays on stage, she hops around.
Prance?
She has this tomboyish haircut. So it's cute.
She made little and no color.
Yeah, I really. She's really beautiful.
Kid, all her gray.
She's a really beautiful person.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah.
And who'd you see, Tiff?
I haven't seen anybody, but I have.
Got a gig coming up?
Yes.
Who? Morrissey.
Well, I'm gonna go see the Sex Pistols in Las Vegas, and then I'm also gonna see ABC.
Oh yeah.
Who are they?
The Human League.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Naked Eyes, Belinda Carlisle, and Dead or Alive.
Wow.
All right, where? They're playing.
K Rock, Weenie Rose.
the Universal Amphitheater.
Uh huh.
Up there.
That'll be fun.
In August. I got those tickets for my birthday.
And who have you seen, Talia?
When's your birthday?
Recently.
What have I seen? I saw Afrobeat Down and
Afrobeat Down?
Afrobeat Down.
They're good.
Where are they from?
They're LA.
Long Beach.
Long Beach?
Long Beach?
Yeah. It's really nice. It's a Fela Kuti tribute
kind of. Oh, really?
Fela, he was bad. Much respect to you. Brother Matt, you seen any gigs?
I saw the Dark Star Orchestra last week. And I'm going to Joshua Tree Music Festival.
That's like a Grateful
week.
Dead. They recreate gigs.
Yeah, they recreate gigs. It's trippy. What a way to...
They have Deadheads?
Oh, it's trippy, yes. It's like exactly the same.
Yeah.
They recreate a show from a certain date. And so this guy who lives around the corner was friends with the... Keyboard guy. So yeah, it's really a place for Deadheads to go. It was pretty wild.
So this thing doesn't end.
No, it doesn't
whole
end.
Whole jamming.
Doesn't end. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Hippies, hang. Oh, why don't I going to Russia Thursday?
Russia's supposed to be coming.
Yes.
That's gonna have fun.
I saw him last with Tony Platton about late 70s sometime.
Working Man.
Yeah.
2112 or something.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Huh?
I'm excited.
Because she's really a big Rush fan.
Did you say you learned how to speak English listening to Rush?
Well, not learn how to, but I learned the...
How to perfect it.
No, not perfect, like, you know, the poetry, the...
Oh, yeah, the poetry.
Well, you know, it's like, it's the meaning within words, you know, of how the language structure, and it's just, yeah. And got into music because of them.
The drummer writes all the words.
Yeah.
Who's not an original member, right?
Right.
Why'd the other guy leave? Do you know that? Do you know their history?
No. No.
You're lacking.
I know I'm lacking. I never claim to know anything about anything. I like it.
Do you know that with their new stuff, is it different than the old stuff?
Yeah, it's just different, yeah.
How?
Oh, no, I'm getting quizzed. It's a little bit more, I guess, grown up than...
Oh, yeah.
No, I mean, like, you know, I say a lot of bands, when they first get their thing going, and they were famous for, like, just playing hard and furious, and a lot of melodic stuff going on, and but now it's a more, I think... The music is a little bit set back,
New age?
It's more... No. Let's say, I would say a little bit more calm intellect than testosterone-driven in the past.
It's more body odor?
Facial hair. I don't know.
Just
grayer. Grayer. That's pretty much right there.
Well, I'm going to go to Tokyo to record and do two gigs, and then I start with the Stooges on the 30th in Madrid. Madrid has a museum called the Prado. Have you ever heard of it?
No.
Prado has an incredible collection.
Of
Greco, the 8 or 9 Bosches. Hieronymus Bosch.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, last time I was there, I got to spend hours in there. It's an amazing museum. So if you're in Madrid, go to the Prado.
Yeah, I remember that email, I think you were talking about walking in the museum. Is that the one? Maybe? Or was it France, the one you were talking about? I'm not sure.
Louvre?
You know what? I don't know.
In Paris? Louvre?
Maybe.
That's way bigger than Prado. That takes days.
Yeah.
Guys ever been to there?
Yeah.
Never been to Louvre? Oh, man. Mona Lisa, you know? One Bosch, Ship of Fools. But Mona Lisa, somehow it was right at opening, and I had turned a corner to another entrance that everybody wasn't in line for, and the guard man opened the gate, and so I was first, just by accident, coincidence. Mm-hmm. So I got right in there, and Mona Lisa is on a wall inside a room, and there's the rail thing, and you can look at it. She's behind glass, but still pretty intense. Nothing like books, plates and books, you know, to see the real thing. And I was watching her, and all her face I was taken away except her eyes. Finally, it was just her eyes, and they were John Coltrane's eyes.
Yes, yeah. I remember that.
I have several pictures. You know, pictures of John Coltrane, his eyes are really intense, very sensitive. And I saw him in her eyes. I know she's a woman and he's a man and stuff. But away, if you get a chance, you got to go to that, Pat.
Did you see that they figure out who she was?
No, they did figure it out?
Yeah. It was like some small footnote in, I think it was in a church back in the day. Somebody make a note of this lady who I think was married to a really rich person who probably commissioned the painting.
Patron.
Yeah.
I know it's painted over something else. Has it done x-rays?
Yeah. That's fun. I mean, to see...
You know, in the Minutemen days, we always used tape. Tape used to be...
So can
you used to record on tape. And it was 30 ips.
Mm-hmm.
30 inches per second. So you get about 15, 14 minutes on a reel.
Mm-hmm.
It's very expensive. So we'd always use tape. to record on, because there's much half the monies.
Would sounds bleed through? Like, would the other sounds be erased, or would there be like residual sound left over?
You hear other bands when you hear Minutemen? No, it gets erased.
I'm just wondering if there's something.
The way tape works, there's a bunch of
magnetic
particles, and when you record, you're organizing.
Mm-hmm.
When you erase, you park them all like parking cars. So it loses, but supposedly every time you hit it, it's less resilience.
Yeah.
Like overdubbing and stuff. There is a phenomena from when the tape lays on itself, it kind of imprints on the layer it's wrapped around. And so there's the most famous thing is like the Led Zeppelin song, Way Down Inside, you know.
What's it called?
Whole Lot of Love in the middle part.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a bleed through.
Oh, wow.
That wasn't planned. That's why I heard anyway.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. But all that's, now it's hard drives. So that's all over. Some people still use tape and stuff. Steve Albini, when we did the Stooges album, he went to tape. The maintenance on the machines and the tape itself, it's a kind of an expensive thing. Plus, you can't move everything. I mean, you people, you don't record stuff. Well, you do, Talia. You know how you can move these waveforms, visual analog of the sound, and you can actually move parts around. Yeah, it's pretty incredible what you can do with stuff. But the sound is different.
Yeah, it is.
But then everything ends up on the CD anyway and gets turned to digital, so who's to say? I'm just glad more and more people are doing it. Mm-hmm. Because in the old days, there was, you had to go to the big studio.
Right, now you can just
do it. A lot of money.
Now
people are doing it in the house. Mm-hmm. So I think there's more chances for good creativity. I don't think it's a bad thing. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's hear some more music.
Hello. Meanie.
Meanie.
Buddy on this plate, but before we let the herd out the gate, make sure all the levels are straight out the jungle.
The jungle, the brothers.
De La Soul, from the soul. Black medallions, no gold. Hanging out with Paws, hanging out with Mace. Buddy, all in my face.
Fold the lap, Jim Browski must wear a cap. Just in case the young girl likes to clap. Aim for the win, but before I begin, I'll initiate the buddy with a slap.
Now for the next. I'm the cutie from a tribe called Quest. And when I quest for the buddy, I don't fess. For my Jimmy was nothing but the best.
The best?
The best.
Ooh-wee.
Let's stick out Jimmy and see what we can catch.
Stick him up, Jimmy.
Next, won't be needed unless
Jimmy wanna get right to the flesh.
Yeah.
Look at that girl up there.
Get that woman.
She's my buddy.
Yeah.
I won't lie. I love D-D-Y. Cause I never let it walk on by. When it comes to meeting Jenny, I seem
very serious.
Like a pig screen. Buddy is the act that occurs on the list. When Jimmy and Jenny start shooting the gift, boy, let me get shot, I won't even rip.
Buddy, don't you know you've made me go nutty? I'm so glad that you're not a buddy-duddy. Not too skinny and not too chubby. Soft like silly buddy, Miss Crabtree. I hope that you're not mad at me, cause I told you that it was your buddy that was making me ever so horny, jungleistically horny.
On the dial, my buddy talks to me for a while. Plug two is the
cue to hut chip.
On the A side or sometimes the flip.
Never gonna flip this record.
Buddy is the bud to my daisy tree, and the looter to my do-ray me, and the pleaser to my man plug three.
Plug three gets all the buddy.
Behind my bush, my buddy likes the way that I push. I like a champ, just knock it on out. Never ever once selling out.
All that loose, the juice.
My buddy helps me to
feel out my soul.
Keeping Jimmy in total control. Without Jimmy, I'd be on the road.
Yeah. Get it.
Yeah, this
girl wanna be coy. Grab your bone.
Like you do when you grab your bone.
Times. If we quest from the soul, guess what we'll find? A whole lot of fun. Lots of fun together, just like kissing cousins.
Yeah, that's kinda clever.
Close like bosoms. Bosoms stay close. If you be my buddy, I will boast that we're like Elmer Merce and Lucille McGillicuddy. You can be mine, and I can be your buddy.
The best buddies in evening wear. Long loving that's true, no, he's in there. I feel sorry for those who pay a fare. A fee, word to the D. I don't beg. I just tease my buddy with my right leg. And then when it's ready, what's said is buddy is best in bed.
Fly buddy told us all to get into a circle. Says don't worry because I won't hurt you. All I really wanna do is freak you.
She freaked
and
us.
I watched. And then I checked my swatch to see the time. The soul had formed the buddy line. And that buddy was
mine, oh mine.
Now when the tribe, the jungle, and De La Soul is at the club, our ritual unfolds. Grab our bones and start swinging our hands, and Jenny starts flocking in every brand. Cause Jennifer just wanna stay aware. Yo, fella, should we keep her aware?
How do you like your buddy? Polka dots. Woo. Grab your bones. Swing the hands. Swing your hands. Do the Sammy B, y'all.
Swing your hands.
Yeah. Buddy.
Ali.
Miren mi a la vida vuelvo.
Okay, we just heard F. I don't know. It's spelled E-F. Would you call it F?
What?
This song by Light.
Oh. F.
I'll ask him next week. I get to play with him in Tokyo next week, but that's from their new album. And then we heard something that Tiff picked, Tinana, Clifton Chenier, in the story. You're moving and going through stuff.
Yes. It's just a CD that I came across that I used to listen to a lot, a couple years ago, and it was, like, cool to see it again, because now I'm listening to it again, like, over and over and over. It's called Louisiana Gumbo, and it's just a compilation of different Louisiana sort of, like, Cajun sort of music, and not new stuff. I think it's a good mix of, like, old stuff and new stuff.
Yeah.
My mom says it sounds like...
But it's because you're moving and you found it again. You hadn't heard it in a while.
Oh, yes, moving. That's the main thing, yes.
So good luck on your move.
Thank you.
And you're moving about. Tonight, Riverside?
No, Torrance.
Tonight, Torrance. Tomorrow, Riverside. Couch tour.
No, probably... Torrance till Thursday, then to PV.
Oh, no Riverside.
Riverside can wait.
Okay. One of the guys in Slayer lives.
Just what happened there. Okay.
And then we heard.
I'm on tour.
Pajaro.
I'm on tour.
By Lasa di
Sela.
Sela.
Yeah, I just.
And that's when that Peak picked.
Yeah, I just discovered her this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How? Moving? You're not moving.
No. I should move and sipped. Also, but
that's what I need to do.
But
not move, but sift, big time. I still got shit in boxes.
Yeah,
there a year.
I know.
Fuckhead.
I looked her up and become like an instant fan of her life. And she's a Mexican, American, Canadian mix of Lebanese, Jewish, all kinds of stuff in her, and. She grew up traveling around the country in a school bus converted by her parents for like 7 years, and all they did was just art and music and listening to music.
Gypsies.
Yeah, like a modern gypsy.
Traveling through where?
To the U.S., to the country. That's how she grew up. And it's really fascinating.
Lasa di Sela.
Lasa di Sela. I haven't seen any of her recent releases. The last one was 2004, so I'd probably look.
Oh, it was a few years ago.
Look her up more.
Well, thank you for bringing that. And then, Sean, you brought "Buddy" by De La Soul.
Yep, and Jungle Brothers and Q-Tip.
Q-Tip.
Tribe
Called Quest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Name Quest.
Yeah.
Called Quest.
I like that song. It's a happy song.
Yeah.
It's a good song to shake your booty to.
Booty or buddy?
Well, both, I guess.
Shake your buddy.
Shake whatever you got.
Now,
shake it.
We were talking about myths. And, Peek, you were talking about your family's got 20 books of some epic?
Yeah, an epic story of a Chinese story evolves around 3-4 characters. They also made movies out of it and stuff. In parts, but yeah, I remember growing up, and my family always refer to this bookcase full of books that I should tap into someday. But it's just the amount of books I just never started because I'm afraid of.
But you found out there was similar stories.
Yeah,
India,
and I know that it's Chinese translated into Thai, and there's a lot of Thai mythologies that. As an adult, I find that they have a lot of similarity with cultures that I recently visited, like India and the whole region have a lot of mixture of the same characters in. So I wish I know more about where it all started, but it feels like it might have come from one source.
Is there a lot of cats?
Cats?
In feline.
In
Thailand.
In stories, in Thailand, yeah, they have famous Siamese breeds and stuff. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah,
cats.
But who knows if they're still? I don't know. I know that's where they come from.
Yeah.
But still a lot there?
Yeah, that one that I like is the white kind with one
with
yellow
blue
eye
eyes
and
or
one
yellow
blue
eye.
Eye.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always
and
like
no
that.
Fleas, but Siamese cats.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I've heard that before.
Yeah. Flea-resistant breeds?
Something about that. I don't know.
Awesome.
They're beautiful cats.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah, interesting how the stories mix. We were talking about, I was talking about Divine Comedy. And how Dante worked in all these stories. You know, to be relevant in his own hell, you know, he was exiled from his town, from Florence. He didn't get to live there the last 20 years. And in a way, it was a big get back on those. It's funny, too, because they got a statue of him now. Now they claim him, but they threw him out. Says 700 years ago. It's a trip. There's a room with a lot of his shoes, worn out shoes in one of the pads, because he ended up staying at, he did a couch tour for 20 years.
20 years.
He ends up in Ravenna, he dies. And the year before he finishes, or the year he finished Paradiso. So he just finished it. And yeah, he'd wear out, because the guy would hoof every day, big time. Yeah, yeah. Well, it was the way I think, there's, especially in Paradiso, you can tell maybe some of the people he's living with, he works them into the story as payback. Yeah, I'll make you famous. And, you know, patron. You know, James Joyce did couch tour.
Hmm.
Yeah, he's living at people's houses.
I'm not doing a couch tour, just so you know.
And raised family, right? Nora Barnacle raises his two kids. When I went to, I'm playing Bloomsday this year in Dublin.
Wow.
Yeah, I was out with Stooges. And I was there for the Centenarian 2004 in the National Museum they had, which is also in the book. Part of, there's episodes in there. But they had stuff about, you know, the suitcases and shit, where they lived at people's houses with, they had the... it was supposedly kind of hard on Nora because she's raising two kids, you know, and she's going from house to house. And but and Homer too was homeless. I think he was blind too. So something about maybe being a little ship not anchored down. So maybe
you should write a book.
Yeah, you'll be.
No, because I'm not doing this to be homeless. I'm doing this because where I've been living for the past 2.5 years has been like prison. And so now I put my shit in storage and I have all the freedom in the freaking world and I'm going to go out and I'm going to visit the people I haven't been able to see.
That could be the same story of other people. You know,
it's
like,
an adventure.
Oh.
It's a new adventure.
I mean,
and
that's
the new beginning.
Freedom.
And
yeah.
You don't want to write a book.
I'll get a place when I'm done,
right.
So you're not tied down.
Yeah.
That's good.
Just write a flipping story.
It sounds like what these people are saying too. I'll just get a place when I'm ready to get a place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too busy writing a book. I don't have time to worry about bills. And
well, Dante was politics. He was exiled. He wasn't allowed to come back. There was like a death and put on his son even and stuff. He couldn't go back. He kept trying, writing letters and getting people. Like, they would not let him back. So maybe the old lady, you know, you'd be writing her letters. No. And you're cemented now?
No.
In the jungle?
No.
Another
couch tour.
You're on a couch tour?
Well, I have the blue room tour right now. Because my room is blue. Actually, yes, it is. Because I, well, it's
she
a futon tour because... Yeah, I do, actually. I have a futon. I ditched my mattress. The box spring is in the middle room. The middle part of the
shrine.
Property. Yeah, the shrine. Thank you. So I sleep on my futon. So it is kind of, it's a futon tour. It's kind of stable at the moment.
It's one
it's one futon.
See, a couch tour isn't one couch.
Right, that's several when you go from couch to couch to couch.
Yes.
So it's a progressive couch tour. Yes.
Have you heard of a website that offers couches around the world?
Yes.
No.
Really?
Yeah, for people who just go to different countries.
I've,
yeah.
You know, I've conked on many countries,
yeah.
But I tour.
Yeah,
especially my U.S. tours, and I'm conking at people's pads.
Yeah.
Because there's a bulkhead on the couch, you know, and I feel safe.
Yeah.
Against that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I conk. The danger is soft ones because it fucks your back up. Mm-hmm. You have to be careful. But I'm into it. Brother Matt, you're here at the Pleasure Point. You're playing it.
Yeah.
But do you have another mission plan, like the whale watch?
Always some kind of adventure coming up. Those are like
September going to have Burning Man?
I don't know if I'm going to do Burning Man this year.
You missed it last year.
Yeah. I've been expanding my adventures. So I might, but it's wide open at this point.
Okay, interesting. And Talia, you like your pet. You're going to get a drum set for it.
No, I actually need a bigger place. I'm looking for a new place.
Does it get sweaty on the hill there? Black
Hill? Yeah, summer's really hot.
Yeah.
But, my landlord just raised my rent. And
that's
I want
right.
A bigger place. I want to have a studio. I want to have a drum set. And I want to be able
Solo
to.
Solo Musica?
Well, yeah.
Bateria?
Yeah.
Bajo? Okay. So we got everybody checked in on their lift. I'm going to stay in my bed. But I got to get rid of some boxes. I got to unpack some.
I have too much crap to move.
I have a lot of boxes.
I have too much crap to move.
Yeah.
It's kind of stuck there.
Yeah, I have pets, which makes it hard to find a new place.
Well, I want to thank everybody for being on this May 4, 2008 Live from Pedro Show edition. Thank you, Brother Matt.
Thanks for coming on.
Talia. Tiff, P,
thanks.
Sean.
Thank you.
Thank you much.
Aloha.
And I think I'm going to do one in Japan. So that'll be the next one. And then with you guys, I'll come back on the 17th. So sometime after that. If you're on a couch near enough.
Oh.
Keep your powder dry.